W-E-T-E-N-P-C.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Nope. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
On a summer's night in August 2022 in Liverpool, a ruthless criminal pursued a man through the streets with deadly intent. He'd managed to injure him, but he'd failed to deliver the fatal shot. They were members of the city's criminal underworld, people who only brought pain and misery to others like them. But this night, the lives of an innocent family and a 9-year-old girl would be forever shattered. This is what happens when the worlds of decent people and those of criminal scum collide. This is the murder of Olivia Pratt Corbell.
I'm Emma Kenny. Welcome to Bang to Rights, the deep dive crime podcast, which takes you through some of the most heinous crimes the world has ever seen.
Hi guys, welcome back to my channel. Gonna say before I start that I've really thought long and hard about doing this case because it is so recent, and I have done a lot of recent child deaths with respect, but they are different to this particular death of a child. And I am aware it's recent, but I have been so enraged, so disgusted by this case and the impact that this case has had on a really lovely family that I've put those fears to the side and I've decided to bring it to you, because you know that when I bring it to you, I'm going to have done the due diligence, and this case deserves due diligence. Olivia and her family deserve that due diligence. And before lots of videos swarm the internet that miss things out or fail to actually acknowledge the facts, or maybe aren't brave enough to say the things that need to be said, I thought that I would do this to the best of my ability at this moment in time. Thanks for joining me. It's going to be a tough one. As ever, for those of you who are supporting my Patreon and my YouTube membership, I can't do this without you, so I just want to say a massive thank you. But as you know, guys, all of you who come back and get involved in my channel, just put eyes on these videos, you make such a difference, and it means that I can report these pieces of content that I genuinely think give legacy to those individuals who massively deserve it. Today's case, this family massively deserve it. I want to go back to 2022. It's very, very recent. We have 34-year-old father of two. It's a guy called Thomas Cashman. He's better known as Tommy in the local area. So at the time, he's living in this really large, detached home in the Point Estate in West Derby. Now, he'd come what could be said a long way since his work as a fairground worker and car wash attendant. He now was living a very different style to that. He was living a very lavish lifestyle. So he was known in the local area to always be wearing lavish brands, luxury brands. And the thing about this is, whilst that sounds really lovely and it's great to better oneself, of course it is, we would not deny anybody the opportunity to better themselves in life, it's something we should celebrate. He was funding this lavish lifestyle and luxury goods experience through criminal activities, because he was officially unemployed. And even the house that he rented was actually owned by a gang boss, Christopher Gibney. But Cashman was somebody who by day, I suppose, presented himself as a happy family man, so he was quite a chameleon. And don't get me wrong, of course, you can be an absolute abhorrent human being and criminal, and also be somebody who loves your family. It can exist. And so I don't want to deny for one moment that Cashman was somebody who probably did love his 4-year-old and his 14-year-old child. And he was engaged to his childhood sweetheart, a woman called Kayleanne Sweeney. And I am sure that they have had to undergo a huge amount of adjustment and loss themselves. And of course, the person I'm talking about where Cashman is concerned is him and his activities. I'm not saying anything negative about his family, because like I said, it is quite possible that you can adore your family and still be a really nasty piece of work, because we are talking about a man who was an absolutely ruthless criminal. beginning, middle and end. That's it. We get to the 22nd of August 2022. Now, it's on this day that Cashman is playing up, I suppose, to his particular reputation, and he's actually planning to kill somebody. And the truth is that this day someone is going to end up dead. The thing is, though, it's not going to be Cashman's intended target. So the man that he actually had in sight at the time was 35-year-old career criminal, a guy who was a convicted drug dealer. He was also a burglar. He's a guy called Joseph Nee. He's a really nasty piece of work. Now, he's on licence at the time because he's recently been released from prison. So obviously, rehabilitation hasn't gone very well, it seems. Now, Nee had loads of enemies. I think we can all be aware that when people are involved in, shall we say, gang circumstances, it's not difficult to build up enemies, particularly in the local area if there are turf wars, etc. And there had been previous attempts on his life, and he'd actually been shot at most recently just 2 weeks earlier. So this is a man who is not very popular. Now, in the past, this guy had actually been involved with a criminal gang, and that criminal gang were responsible for serving Liverpool crack and heroin. So really high-level A-class drugs. And the thing about drugs is, whilst I am somebody who fully believes that we should look at a better system of regulation and taxation and ensuring that the drugs that people take are not dangerous to the degree where we see the absolute chaos that is created in our communities by them, I'm also aware that the type of dealer who deals in things like crack and heroin, they are people who really don't care if you live or die. It's a mindset of money over a mindset of protection of the individuals that you should in your local community be caring for. And it means that you have a particular belief system and hold a particular lack of ethics regarding the type of human that you actually are. Now, that gang had been led by a guy who was really notorious. He was called Brian Big Show Signer. Now, Signer had been handed a custodial sentence of 14 years. That was back in 2009. So we're talking about people involved in very high-level criminal activity. And actually, Nee was one of the dealers in his criminal organisation. And he'd received, at the time, 6.5 years because he was an individual who was obviously moving in those circles. And then later down the line, he was given a 1-year jail term for perverting the course of justice. And that was down to his involvement with a violent gang of burglars, which just sounds horrible to state, because when we say violent gang of burglars, we're talking about individuals who do home invasions and essentially are quite happy to assault and harm the people who are literally living in their own homes, going about their own business, in the sanctuary of their own space. And these not rights thinks it's okay to go in and be violent towards them. You know, they broke into people's homes with weapons, they were incredibly violent. And this guy had also been jailed for nearly 4 years in 2018. That was for burglary, it was also for dangerous driving. So when I'm talking about Nee, how would I best describe him? Well, I would describe him, I think, as a worthless piece of scum and a waste of oxygen. And actually, from my research, I found out he's also considered a rat in the criminal world. So, in that inner circle of trust, it seems that Nee isn't trusted. And actually, he is considered vermin. And I think that's unfair to rats, because rats are quite sweet and very much like dogs when you look after them. I know people freak out about their tails, but genuinely, I don't think rats should ever be put in the circumstance or consideration compared to this particular type of lowlife. So what we know about Nee is that he's somebody who's very, very dangerous, because he's somebody who doesn't really have any boundaries. And what we know about Cashman is that he's an individual who's done relatively well for himself, but also his morals are lacking. So this is a cooking pot of possibility of disaster. Now, what I haven't been able to find out is the actual reason that Cashman wanted to kill Nee, because there isn't a clear motive as far as he personally having reason to actually kill Nee. So it's never actually been recognised and established as to why Cashman had chosen to go and kill him. Cashman's refused to give details, so has Nee. The rumours that have been turned up is that he was hired basically by this notorious international drug trafficking cartel. And this apparent cartel suspected me of being involved in a plot to steal a consignment of cocaine, which would obviously be something that would result in gross harm to an individual who's trying to double cross a massive drug trafficking cartel. And for those people who don't really understand the actual enormity of these kind of gangs, I've worked with undercover police officers who've worked specifically in Liverpool in this area, and it is astonishing. These are not stupid people who are running these kind of cartels. They're very dangerous, they're very organised, and with respect, they are very brutal and cutthroat, and you would not wish to double cross them in any way, shape or form. And I think, again, that lends itself to a further understanding of Ni's psychology, because you have...
Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
To be highly arrogant and also rather unintelligent to believe that somehow you as a lone individual can double cross these kind of super organized high level criminals who are very intelligent at what they do. But apparently this is potentially the reasoning behind the hit that could have been placed on Ni. Now back to August 2022, which is the day that we're going to be talking about. So Cashman's caught on CCTV. And he's either walking or driving past a property on Finch Lane. This is in Dovecot in Liverpool. And he was caught doing that at least 12 times. Just gonna say, no matter how bright you are these days, it's always worth thinking, am I on CCTV? Because can we all just be really realistic about this? Why is anybody walking up and down past an address that isn't theirs 12 times, driving, walking, etc.? That is something that is going to alert suspicion if a crime plays out. Now that house, it belonged to Ni's friend, a guy called Timmy Naylor. And inside the house at the time, Ni had been watching Liverpool versus United. So this guy's obviously scoping out the movements of Ni. We get to shortly before 10 p.m. Ni actually leaves the house with his friend, 41-year-old Paul Abraham. Now, Abraham, he later recalled walking along the street and actually hearing three loud bangs. And he just realised at that moment in time, because he's probably heard them before, that they were being shot at, which would be terrifying. It doesn't matter who you are, where you come from, what your activities are. When you are suddenly faced with somebody shooting at you, that must be absolutely terrifying. Now, Cashman, person walking up and down 12 times that day, he'd actually changed into black clothes and a balaclava. Wasn't wearing them earlier, when probably a disguise could have been helpful. But he'd essentially been scoping this place out, and then he'd waited around half an hour to ambush Ni. He actually sneaks up on him from behind. Not exactly the bravest way of carrying out this kind of attack, but I guess it's an ambush. And he begins firing at close range with a 9mm handgun, and the attack's actually caught on CCTV. Now, obviously, he's in close range, and he obviously knows how to use a gun, and a bullet does actually hit Ni in his midriff, and he falls straight away. Now, Abraham, he actually jumps over him and then runs through a garden gate to escape. Not exactly a lot of loyalty in this particular arena, is there? Not a maybe I'll stay and help my friend, you know? But I guess that maybe he didn't think that Ni's life was actually worth saving, potentially. Now, Cashman at this point is in the perfect position. He wants to kill Ni. He's got him on the floor. He's already injured him. So he ends up standing over him with a gun. And Ni at this point does what we would expect. He basically begs him not to. He says, please don't. And Cashman ignores this completely and just full-on execution style pulls the trigger to fire. Now that shot should 100% have been the fatal one. But the universe seems to be strangely on Ni's side. So the gun jams, and that means that Ni has the opportunity to scramble to his feet and obviously to run. So at this point he flees towards a place called Kingsheath Avenue. Now Cashman is ready for this. he is planned and prepared, and he's obviously quite cool and calculated in what he's doing, because he gets a second weapon. He's actually got a revolver on him, and he just chases Nee, firing two more shots. Now, as the pair actually reach Kingsheath Avenue, Cashman then fires another three shots. So you can imagine, can't you, that this is an absolutely out-and-out execution. There is no other way of describing this. We know it's not a case of mistaken identity. He stood over him, looked him in the face. We know he's been scoping this area out for all day. So therefore, we can see that whatever has occurred, it's planned and premeditated. Now, obviously, they arrive at Kingsheath Avenue, and this street is home to 46-year-old Cheryl Corbell and her three children. She's got 9-year-old Olivia Pratt Corbell. She's known effectively as Liv, and also her two older siblings, Ryan and Chloe, and they are a lovely family. It's hard to express how I feel about the research on this particular family, but they are a lovely family. Now, some of the neighbours, they were actually round at the house that night, and obviously they can hear this disturbance occurring outside. And like so many of us, you're intrigued and you think to yourself, my God, what's happening outside? So she kind of opens the door. She goes out to investigate, which so many of us would do. And at this point, she's just horrified because she sees this now injured Nee and he's just running towards her home. But she can also see there's a guy chasing him, which is Cashman, who's in pursuit. So in panic and absolutely working her senses thoroughly, because she's read that situation and she doesn't want to be involved in it, she runs back into the house and she's trying to shut the door. But unfortunately, in a twist of fate, the latch is sadly off, so it won't properly close. Now, at this point, Nee, because he wants to escape, he knows that his time is up if Cashman catches him. So Nee's banging on the door, he's shouting for help. And in response, Cheryl, and I totally agree with her actions, because if there are men running down the street, one of them is armed, trying to shoot at the other, you know instantly this is some kind of gangland beef. This isn't somebody trying to escape an abusive partner. Believe me, in Liverpool, people would know that they are going to be in a whole heap of trouble if they get involved in this situation. So she's screaming at him to get away because she wants to protect her family. But Nee, he's going nowhere. And this lowlife, who has absolutely no right to infringe on this woman's family, this woman's home, who's asking him to go away, he just forces his way in and then he collapses to the floor because obviously he's injured. Now, Cashman isn't deterred. You'd imagine and hope that if this guy has ended up getting through that door, that maybe it's time to retreat. You know, there's always going to be another day that you can go and try and shoot him. But no, Cashman isn't giving up. He's got a job to do and he's going to do that job, no matter who it harms. So Cashman charges at the door. And then you've got Cheryl, this mother who's desperate to protect her family, just desperately trying to wrestle it shut. Now, of course, this is making a noise. There is a commotion in the house and she has children in the house. And her youngest child, Olivia, she's been woken, because she heard the earlier gunshots. And what did she want in that moment? She wanted a mummy, because a mummy would make it okay. And she's scared, and so she runs downstairs. She wants to be with her mum. Also, her older brother, Ryan, he's also come out of his room, and he's looking down from the landing and thinking, my God, who is this man lying in the hallway? Also, he sees that his mum's struggling to close the door. He sees his little sister a few steps away from the bottom. And this must just be chaos going through this family's mind. You can't imagine it, can you? The fact that in that moment, for Ryan, he's seeing his mum who's under threat, he's seeing his little sister who's scared, he's seeing some strange man bleeding in the hallway. And trying to process that as a young person would be almost impossible. And obviously, we've got Olivia just wanting to be near her mum, and she's actually screaming at the time, I'm scared, mummy, I'm scared. Cashman at that point would have been able to hear. He would have known that Nee has just got into an ordinary family's home who have nothing to do with whatever is going on between them. Cashman must have been aware that he was at the home of a completely innocent family. He would have seen Cheryl desperately trying to keep Nee out. He would have seen Nee forcibly gaining entry. He would have heard these terrified screams of the family. But none of that meant anything to that low-life scum. Because regardless of all of that, he just fires the gun through the open door. The bullet actually hits Cheryl. It passed straight through her right wrist. And despite the fact that she must have been in absolute shock and pain, she just wants to keep him out. So she continues to wrestle with that door. And she actually screams at Nee to get the fuck out, which she has an absolute right to do. How dare he be trying to cross her threshold? Now, whilst Nee at this point has tried to gather himself together to a point where he's also fighting to close the door because he wants to protect his own life, he actually tells her to call the police because he's saying, you know, alert somebody, get somebody here. And while this is all playing out, Cashman is still trying to force his way in. And he manages to get his hand holding the gun through the gap in the doorway. And he shouts, "Please, lad, don't." Of course, not because he cares about anybody else in the house, but just because he cares about his own life. But Cheryl, heroically at this moment in time, manages to trap Cashman's hand in the door as he pulls the trigger again. The bullet discharges in the door frame, and then she hears her little girl, Olivia, scream, "Mum." She was sitting at the bottom of the stairs, obviously watching this horror and chaos play out in front of her. Cheryl drops everything because the only thing that matters to her is her family. And she goes over to her, she runs over straight away, she huddles over her to protect her because the only thing she cares about are the lives of her kids. She's not even concerned about her own injury. Even in that moment where Cheryl is injured and has been shot, all she is concerned about doing is letting her little girl know it's okay, that she's going to protect her. She notices that there's a lot of blood on Olivia's pyjamas. And initially, because Cheryl's got badly injured with her hand, she thinks it's the wound that she's got to her wrist. But then it kind of processes in her head and she lifts up her daughter's top and she realises that it's not her blood that she's seeing, that Olivia has actually been hit. And tragically, that bullet that had struck Cheryl's wrist, it continued on its path and it had struck Olivia in the chest, and she was gasping for air, gasping for breath. And Cheryl is just knelt by her screaming, "Stay with me, baby. Stay with me, baby." Now, at this point, Ryan, of course, he's unaware that his sister's been shot. All he's doing is screaming abuse at Nee, and I have such absolute admiration for Ryan because that's what Nee deserved. He's brought in this horror. And Ryan is angry. He's not even thinking about his own safety. He's just thinking about the protection of his family. And Nee at this moment is actually sat on the family's doorstep. And then he manages to stagger into the road. He's making a phone call at the time. And shortly after this, he gets picked up by two men in an SUV. Basically, they're friends of his. And they then drive him to hospital. They're not even considerate of the families whose lives have just been changed beyond belief forever. They just leave Olivia's family in a scene of chaos. And Cheryl places Olivia in Ryan's arms and she's just saying, "Keep the pressure on her chest." And it's at this point for Ryan, he realises as he lifts her pyjama top that she's been shot. And suddenly he understands.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
What's actually happening. At this point, her lips had already turned blue, and he helps his mum carry Olivia upstairs. All Cheryl and Ryan want to do is to save Olivia, so they use towels to try to stem the bleeding. A neighbour attempts to perform CPR, and Cheryl desperately tries to keep her little girl, Olivia, awake. She desperately tries to keep her conscious because she knows that's so important. And she later goes on to tell the police that there was a point where Olivia just went all floppy and her eyes rolled to the back of her head. And then she knew that she was dead. I don't even know how to compute what I've just said, because child death is horrific and we've covered many child deaths on this channel. But we're talking about a family that bolt out of the blue are dealing with the death of this beautiful little girl. And the mother and the brother are having to be witness to her last moments in a situation that only moments earlier had just been a family enjoying themselves. To say it's the stuff of absolute nightmares is just such an underestimation. It's difficult to find a word that could ever fit what I've just described. The police are on the scene around 10 p.m. that evening, and of course an officer at that moment in time is duly concerned about Olivia and whether she can be saved, and they carry Olivia to the emergency response vehicle and they rush her to nearby Alder Hey Children's Hospital, which is a really specialised children's hospital. And at the time, this particular officer recalled that he felt a very faint heartbeat. So obviously the most important part of this is, even though Olivia's family are fearful that they've lost her, they're thinking, as the emergency services, maybe there's a hope, and they absolutely carry out valiant efforts to save her life, but there's nothing that the doctors can do. So Olivia is officially pronounced dead at 11:24 p.m. Can you imagine the psychological impact of what we've just described on the family? We're talking about hours earlier, everything's fine. Hours earlier, they're just an ordinary family living their ordinary lives, loving each other, caring for each other, squabbling over who has the remote, the normal family things that we all do. And now they're in hospital, and this little girl has been brutally murdered. Now, what's even more upsetting is that we have a very injured Cheryl. Remember, her mum has had an impact herself. She's been shot. So she is actually receiving emergency treatment to the gunshot wound, and that means that she wasn't with Olivia when she officially died. And I think we can all agree that her mother was with her when she actually lost consciousness. And as far as I am concerned, her mother was there holding her, loving her, letting her know how much she adored her. And her brother was there as well. But still, for her mother to have not been the person holding her in her arms in that moment, that's something that she deserved the opportunity to have. And it was stolen from her by Cashman. It was stolen from her by Nee. Now, of course, Cashman at this point, well, all he cares about is himself. So he's fled the scene. He garden hopped because obviously he doesn't want to get spotted. And it's dark, so it's a lot more easy to evade capture. At this point, he actually makes his way to the home of an ex-girlfriend. Now, she'd previously had, they say, an affair with Cashman, but she slept with him 3 times, which I don't really think constitutes an affair. I think it's just one of those liaisons that she will massively regret. Although, having said that, I'm kind of really grateful that she did, because this is an individual that I think is a true heroine in this piece. So there had been this minor relationship between the two. She'd actually left her door at the back unlocked. So just a caveat here, make sure you lock your back doors, guys, because genuinely you don't know who's going to come through it. So that's what he'd done. He'd got through her unlocked back door. He'd actually woke her up in the bedroom, which would have been terrifying. And at the time, he's apparently holding his head in his hand. He was stuttering. He was highly agitated. So of course, we can see that there is certainly a level of anxiety there. When somebody starts stuttering, psychologically they tend to be in a very heightened state of arousal. And he actually claimed at this point that someone was trying to kill him, and that he wanted to kill him first. So, of course, he wants some help. And the way that he's managing and manifesting that help is to basically lie and say that he's the victim. Bear in mind what he's just done. And his first port of call is firstly his own ego and self-preservation, and secondly to use somebody he has had a minimal relationship with an expectation that they're actually going to protect him as long as he says that he's the victim. How more egotistical could you be? Even goes and says to her that basically she's the only one that he could trust. Well, not really, mate. You know, you've got a partner and you've got kids. So I think probably your partner would be the first port of call, not the person that you believe is your bit on the side. Now, bear in mind, this woman whose house he's got into, she's got no idea of the shooting. She doesn't know what's happened at all. She believes him. So she gives him shelter for the night. But of course, she wakes up the next morning and suddenly she's seeing these headlines. Suddenly she's realising what actually happened. And actually what he's done there is he's made her a co-conspirator. Because essentially she has housed a known felon who is wanted, and he has implicated her to some degree. Because we all know snitches get stitches. We all know the implications of breaking the code. And he's essentially placed her in a position where she's now at risk herself. So she's seeing this and it must have just turned her blood cold. She was absolutely angry. She was devastated that it got involved. So she then calls her boyfriend, which is 41-year-old Paul Russell, and he comes over and speaks to Cashman. And she overheard him say, "I've done Joey." Now, Russell, at this point, told him to keep quiet, just says, "I don't want to hear it." And Russell's got a very good sense there, because the more you tell me, the more I'm implicated in the situation. I don't want to know what you've done. I've had nothing to do with it. It's got nothing to do with me. So he says, just keep it quiet. Now, Russell then does do something that I think is really stupid, and also, again, probably demonstrates a level to his personality that is certainly not a positive one, because he helps Cashman dispose of his clothing. He even provides him with a separate change of clothes, and then he drives him back to his van. It could just be that this particular man at the moment in time is fearing Cashman. I mean, what we're hearing about is somebody who's ruthless enough to execute a family, essentially, if he'd had to get whatever he wanted to do regarding completing the hit. So it could be that he feels that he has to try to help this guy for fear of repercussions, who knows? It could also just be that he doesn't really see it's a big deal. I would like to err on the side that he's just a little bit afraid, and so he helps him that way, because that would be more of a human response as opposed to a really dispassionate one. So at this point, we have the murder investigation being launched, and I have seen police officers interviewed regarding this, and it's very personal for them. That little girl's death is very, very personal for them. Now, this murder investigation is launched, and despite being the worthless piece of scum who'd already brought a deadly threat to Olivia's home, Nee, who is obviously the person who's been shot along with Olivia's mother and Olivia, he refuses to cooperate in any way with the police. He has placed a family in mortal and fatal risk, and the way that he manages this is to literally avoid helping the police on any level. Nee doesn't care about a 9-year-old little girl being murdered in her own home. He couldn't care less. He's just concerned about himself. And apparently all he was caring about was the fact that he was having to go back to prison because he'd broken his license agreement. Because he breached that, it meant that obviously he was returned. And so not only did he refuse to help police with the inquiries, he literally refused to give evidence at the subsequent trial. And he effectively told the authorities, "Hey, it could have been anyone who shot me that night." Now, I know that in the prison system, particularly where gangs are concerned, it is a dangerous place and space for an individual who gives evidence against another individual with influence, and how that can transpire to be problematic when they are inside. But there is also a moral obligation that means that at times, even though you are at risk, you will do the right thing because you have a shred, just a little shred of decency running through your veins. So again, what we can see regarding Nee is there is not one redeeming quality. There is not one shred of character trait that one could hope to honour within him that meant that he wasn't just a lost cause and a stealer of oxygen. But Nee absolutely evidences and proves that he is just bad right through to the core, rotten, running through his veins. Now, obviously, the police have CCTV footage, so the investigators are able to see that the shooter had basically worn some quite distinctive things. So Monterrain tracksuit bottoms, they had these reflective stripes down each side. Well, they matched a pair that Cashman had. Furthermore, you have his van, which is identified driving past the property that is scoping out multiple times. And they knew that that was when he had been watching football before he'd been ambushed. So they could see that this is linking him to the crime. Also, they'd actually found out that he tried to shoot Nee earlier that afternoon. So when he'd first noticed that Nee's vehicle was outside the property, he'd tried to shoot him at that point. But because Nee, the slimy snake of a human, managed somehow to just not be there at the moment in time, which again is one of those things that I don't mind saying is regrettable. At the end of the day, if I have to pick a life of meaning, Olivia's going to win every single day of the week, hands down. And if Nee gets obliterated because of his choices in life, well, so be it. Not saying anyone deserves to die. Saying if you have to make a choice, then Nee is going to get it every single day of the week. But for some reason, that slimy snake had managed to go to Screwfix. And that meant that the hit didn't happen then. He has to be one of the most undeserving, luckiest people on the face of the earth. I can only hope that there is a greater pain in store for him. And I say that with absolute conviction. Also, the police were able to see the Under Armour tracksuit bottoms that were supplied by Russell when Cashman have obviously asked for some help. They were later found at Cashman's sister's home and they contained his DNA. So he's bang to rights. Also, they found traces of gunpowder residue that was on his right leg. So they are tying him fully to the execution attempt. And of course, the failed execution attempt that led to the actual murder of this gorgeous little girl we're talking about today. We get to the early morning of the 4th of September 2022. At this point, Cashman's arrested by armed police. He's at a friend's flat at the time.
Come on, I'm on, I'm on, I'm on, show's your hand! Show's your hand! Get your hands behind your head!
My hands are in the air.
What's all there, fella?
I've got nothing on me.
Put your hands behind your head.
Okay, there you go.
Stay where you are. Do exactly what you've told. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? Yes, mate. No,
son. Come here, put them in the small of your back.
Don't worry about it, we've spoken to him in a minute, just do exactly what
he's
told
you. We haven't put yourself. Stitching me up here for fucking swine, whatever it is.
What are we, what's it for one? What have we done? What have we done?
Tell you now.
Go on.
Put your knees up to your chest. Put your knees up to your chest. Sit on your arse. Stand up.
What have we done, go on?
You said yourself.
I'm not for you. I ain't your sister one little bit. I just want to know what I've done, that's all. All I want to know is what I'm arrested for. Tell me what I'm arrested for. Okay.
You're under arrest on suspicion of murder and a suspicion of attempt murder twice. All right, you do not have to say anything. But it may harm his defence if you don't mention my question. Something which you may later lie in the court. Anything you do say may be given in evidence. All right, you've been arrested for the prompt and effective violation of the offence.
Okay.
Yeah,
well,
to be
well, I haven't
about
committed
it.
No offence. I haven't committed no offence what yous are talking about.
Right.
Lift them up a little minute.
None whatsoever. Got nothing on me. Just put my pants down, you'll see. There's nothing here, saves all the messing around.
John, what's happening is the other lads getting dealt with and then we'll get you up, okay? Oh, yes. Just remind where you are for now, thank you.
He's fucking mad, hon. You people.
I ain't resisting them.
Because what?
I'm not resisting them one little bit. I'm calm. It's usually I don't seem a little bit too calm.
Right, yes. Confirm subject one, subject one. Right, are we ready for number two?
Surprisingly, and I do say this, I mean, for me, I don't really understand why it happened, but they will have the reasons. He was actually initially released on conditional bail. That worries me because of the fact that obviously there's a potential for somebody to run. Now, this did lead to a major surveillance operation by the National Crime Agency because obviously they thought he might try to flee the country. I would argue, is it not cheaper to just, I don't know, throw him in prison and lose the key so that you can only pass food through his bars for the rest of his time and life inside? That's what I suggest, but apparently they didn't get the memo off me. But he's obviously a massive flee risk, and like I said, I don't know why scoping him out on a daily basis and figuring out exactly where he was all the time was a cheaper idea than just...
Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
Hanging him up. But anyway, this happens, and then later that month he gets arrested again. And it's this point, 1st of October 2022, Cashman gets charged with Olivia's murder. Also, he is charged with wounding with intent, which he should do because we've got Nee who's been injured, and we also have Olivia's mother who's been injured. Now, Nee isn't obviously saying that Cashman had anything to do with it, but Olivia's mother is, and she's received this gunshot injury because obviously Olivia's mother deserves justice for that injury. And also they charge him with the attempted murder of Joseph Nee, although personally I think that Joseph Nee should be charged with obstructing the course of justice for being a massive liar and not being willing to actually stand in court and give evidence against him. Personally, extend that low life sentence by, I don't know, 50 years? Throw it out there, 50 years. Maybe we can have a round robin and make a decision statistic. 70 years. Oh, I think 150 is maybe going too far. But okay, 150. 150. Janice from the canteen, 150 years. I'll take one of your flapjacks. Genuinely, Joseph Nee should rot in prison. Also, they charged Cashman with the possession of two handguns with intent to endanger life. So he had that 9mm caliber self-loading pistol, and he had a 3 caliber revolver. This individual, literally tied to the scene, literally on CCTV, literally with gunpowder residue on his leg, pleads not guilty. Genuinely, pleads not guilty to all charges. Now, his associate, Russell, that was who'd helped him after the shooting, he actually was charged with assisting an offender. So asking him not to tell him what was going on didn't actually work. In this case, he has been put in a position where he's also being criminally charged. Now, Olivia's funeral, which we shouldn't even have to talk about, so distressing. It took place on the 15th of September, 2022. And for those of you who don't know what Liverpool's like, it has its big problems like Manchester does where I live. But Liverpool is a really close, connected community. You only have to see how they responded to the Sun newspaper after Hillsborough. You won't get a Sun newspaper sold in Liverpool. You know, you affect the community that way, there will be consequences. They are a lovely, friendly, loyal, connected group of people. And so when Olivia's funeral happens, there are just hundreds of people gathered at St. Margaret Mary's Catholic Church. And that's next door to Olivia's school in Knotty Ash. Her white coffin, which was in a white horse-drawn carriage, was just decorated with a rainbow and pink butterflies. Her mum gave her a eulogy, and I've picked out a passage from the eulogy. Her mum said this: "Liv touched so many people's hearts and was loved and adored by everyone. she will never be forgotten. I will never say goodbye. But what I will say is good night. Love you. See you in the morning. So clearly, that connection as a mother that we all feel is expressed very accurately there, which is she's not said goodbye to her, she'll see her again. And I totally relate to that. I think that life is the blink of an eye and love transcends all of this. And so Olivia and her mum will definitely be reunited. And I think it's a beautiful sentiment that we can all share. So the funeral is obviously something that the whole community experience and mourn. And clearly it's just such a juxtaposition to the kind of people that I'm talking about right now regarding the individuals who are perpetrators in this crime, because Olivia will be loved more strongly and more eternally than any of the individuals that I've mentioned as far as with their connections with crime. And we get to the trial. It actually happens at Manchester Crown Court. Been there many times. That makes me sound like I've been on trial. I've not been on trial there, but I have been a professional witness, and I have also been there when my son, after going through quite a violent assault and robbery, watched two criminals go down for a long time. And it was a deeply, deeply satisfying moment in our experience. But I've been there many times. And my brother, who does a lot of research with me for these particular crimes, was a barrister and obviously spent time at the Crown Court himself. And then he taught law and used to take people to actually see as students what went on there. So it's kind of something I have a real connection with. So this happens in March 2023, so it's really, really recent. Now, the main prosecution was the incredible witness, Cashman's former lover. And I have to give props to this woman. Can you imagine the danger that she's put herself in? Genuinely, she's involved in that world. And she has chosen to actually go ahead and give evidence against him. So this is obviously the person whose house he went to after killing Olivia. She bravely, courageously, and at a risk to her own life, steps forward and agrees to testify against him. She breaks the gangster code. And that puts her at huge risk. And you know what she said? She said, when she was giving testimony, there was no such thing as being a grass, not when an innocent 9-year-old girl had been killed. Wow. That is profound, isn't it? That in that moment, she sees the morality and ethics and how, yes, the criminal code exists. And yes, there are rules and regulations around expectations of behaviour and codes of behaviour. But as far as she's concerned, it is obliterated when a 9-year-old little girl's been killed. Now, they have to place that woman in witness protection. And she is expected to remain in it for many years to come, potentially ever. She's given up her life to do the right thing, and she should absolutely be praised and lauded for that. And the police said she's apparently had more death threats than any other police witness in Merseyside's history. How grotesque are those human beings? How grotesque are those individuals? Abhorrent excuses for human beings that they are actually threatening this woman who has more morality running through her little finger than any of those will have if we grouped them all together in a room. That's how disgraceful those excuses for people are. And thank God for this woman and that morality that runs within her. She's also been granted lifelong anonymity, which she'd need. And in court, she's given details of Cashman's whereabouts on the night of Olivia's murder. She also talks about the fact that he tried to create a false alibi. And of course, the defence are going to try to cripple her, aren't they? The defence are going to try to whitewash everything that she says. And they actually come up with a theory that is just laughable. Literally, I instantly know the barrister type who would be fighting as a defence. I know that everyone's entitled to a defence, by the way, and I appreciate that they have to scrabble around when there is such a strong case against Cashman to try to do anything to give them any potential hope of getting or not guilty. But It is so adolescent. Genuinely, think about a jury. Think about the fact that probably the jury is made up half of women, half of men. Let's go for that statistic. Think about being a female listening to what can only be described as an infantile argument that's come straight from, I don't know, a 15-year-old's mindset at school when somebody has done something they don't like. This is genuinely who it sounds like created this defense, because they say that the reason that she's trying to frame Cashman is because he'd refused to leave his girlfriend for her. I mean, instantly, you're like, really? Is literally that the best defense that you could have come up with? Probably just deny they were even there. That would be a far better defense. He wasn't there. He wasn't there. I mean, we've got gun residue on him. He wasn't there. He was not there. But we've got him in the clothes that the guy lent. He was not there. He wasn't there. Just, that's a defense. He wasn't there. But essentially, that's the defense that they use, that she's just a woman scorned and therefore more furious than hell, making her more angry than the devil. But obviously she just vehemently denies it, and she comes out with a line that I think most of us would wish to have tattooed somewhere on our body in this situation, because it's wonderful. She says, he's a thug with a little willy. Yeah, just gonna say that again. Thug with a little willy. So, she ain't bothered about the fact that he ain't leaving no girlfriend for her, because he ain't pleasing her. Not with that little member. That's what she's getting across to the crowd. And again, the jury, who will be partly female, they will have heard those kind of aspersions against women where we're somehow deviants in our mindset and want to harm the men around us because they won't do what we wish. So we'll just create these false accusations. I mean, it's so rare that people will create false accusations. But at the same time, you have to remember, when you are in court and you're being cross-examined, you are literally having your personality and character derided. And to stand confident in a situation where that's occurring, that's difficult. And I love the fact that she just used that opportunity in that audience to just say, I'm going to say the one thing that I know is going to disrespect him more than anything, and that is the size of his manhood. Now, in his defense, Cashman just says, I'm innocent, absolutely innocent. Wasn't me, just innocent. Now, they show him CCTV, of course they do. He's driving around in his van, scoping out the property where the target was. But Cashman's like, no, yeah, you know, I am like driving around in the van in this strangely convenient location when you think about somebody doing a hit. But actually, it's not really what you think is playing out here. He says, even though you do have me on CCTV, and that is definitely me, I am literally just driving around, having a smoke with my friends. I'm just drug dealing. Just one of our local areas. Also, I was buying toys for my sick child. Ugh, the fact that he brings his sick child into it, whether the child was sick or otherwise, is another thing that drives me bonkers. Like, leave your family out of it. They're going to suffer enough. They don't deserve what's happening to them anyway. Now, during questioning, he basically breaks down and tells the jury this. I'm getting blamed for killing a child. I've got my own children. I'm not a killer. I'm a dad. I'm getting blamed for something I haven't done. No, you're not. You're getting blamed for something you've absolutely done. People have eyes, for a start. You had the gun residue on your body. They're your guns. Stop lying. Stop bringing your children, who don't deserve any of this, into it. You're getting blamed because you've done it. He also told the court, because he's trying to paint this picture about who he really is, I'm not a bad drug dealer who sells Class A drugs. I don't do anything bad. So apparently, if you're just a drug dealer who doesn't sell Class A drugs, it's fair game, you're fine, you're a good person. But as minute you touch the Class A drugs, that's a bit of a problem. I mean, the logic is so skewed, it's hilarious. Now, he tries, essentially, during that trial, to portray himself as this friendly neighbourhood weed dealer. And don't get me wrong, we've all known friendly neighbourhood weed dealers. In our history, they were very much appreciated. You know, the guys and girls who weren't out there to make a mint, they were just getting by, passing you a bit of resin, that's back in the 90s, or I suppose it's grass these days, skunk, whatever you want to call it. but they were low level. They certainly weren't trying to make millions of pounds, and often they would share their weed with you, which meant that they were terrible business people. Those people genuinely do exist. I know that we all have different mindsets and views on drugs and dealing, but there are different typologies of dealer. So he's betraying himself this way. Now, you won't be surprised that Olivia's mother, having to listen to this absolute lying and fabricating and total manipulation, it gets too much for her, and she actually walks out of court, which I think we can all empathise and sympathise with. He was suggesting that he just sold cannabis to people that he knew, just the people that he knew. And he did at one point concede that he was a high-level dealer. And the reason for that is they could figure out that he was making between £3,000 and £5,000 a week, which is why apparently he had this lavish lifestyle. So, yeah, he's just one of those friendly neighbourhood weed dealers dealing to a few mates, making £200,000 a year. Said no, low-level, friendly weed dealer in your local community ever. I mean, with respect, this guy is a high-level dealer and he ain't dealing just cannabis and he ain't got that many friends. And believe me, the one thing about Cashman is he ain't gonna have that many friends because he's scary ass. So this is the way that he's portraying himself. It's a million miles away from the character and the reality of who he is. And unbelievably, Cashman even goes on to claim that he hadn't even planned to shoot anyone that night. And he had the audacity to even bring Nee in and say, hey, I wasn't going to shoot Nee. He was actually my friend and we've been mates for 10 years. Do you know what? I've got this like solution to that situation. Maybe Nee and Cashman can share a cell together for eternity. Maybe they could just have like a duo experience in a cell, two bunks, lots of water and bread, and segregated from everybody else, yeah? So they've just got each other, because at the end of the day, that wouldn't be bad, that wouldn't be affecting their human rights. After all, they've been friends with him and his family for 10 years. You'd be doing them a favour. And that's exactly what should have played out in this situation. Now, several people since this crime played out have come forward, and they said that, look, Cashman's an absolute liar. He's known for dealing his Class A drugs, he and his henchmen. That's what they did. That's how they made the money. They also spoke of the fact that, as far as they were concerned, he had a reputation in the local area of being a hitman. So he was somebody who was willing to kill for cash. And on top of the drugs connections and the fact that he's obviously absolutely bullshitting about the level that he's operating at, it's also believed that he's connected to several other killings and attempted murders. And that includes earlier in the attempt to assassinate Nee, which was 2 weeks prior to Olivia's murder, with the same gun that killed her. And the same gun had also been used on the 27th of January 2020 when a 19-year-old man was wounded in Wimborne Road, Dovecot. So he's linked to all of this crime. We get to the 30th of March, and that's 2023. There's been a 3.5-week trial at this point and 9 hours of deliberation. There's a jury of 10 men and 2 women. And those 10 men and 2 women, they unanimously found Cashman guilty on all counts. Unanimously. When the verdict was announced, Cashman being the hard gangster, the man with the big rep, the guy who's obviously pleading his innocence, he started crying in the dock. Should save his tears. Imagine he's going to have plenty to cry about in prison. Just throwing it out there. Also at this point is associate Paul Russell. He gets convicted of assisting an offender. Now to date, he remains in custody. He's yet to be sentenced for that particular crime. Obviously, even though I think what Russell did is completely wrong, we can all agree, I think, that he probably didn't realise how he was going to be implicated in this particular situation. Don't get me wrong, because of that, he definitely deserves a sentence, but I don't have the same vitriol that I have towards him as I do towards Cashman. It's as simple as that. And Cashman's family, and again, no matter who you are, where you come from, you fall in love with people, you have families with people, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. There are benefits for some people being involved with individuals in high-level crime. It pays the bills. It gives them a lifestyle they probably wouldn't be able to afford otherwise. And they are not necessarily thinking long term about the consequences. Very often they don't even know about what their partner's getting up to in the bigger picture. But the way you act in court, I think, says something about who you are. Cashman's family, when that guilty verdict came in, they left the courtroom shouting and swearing, maintaining Cashman's innocence. And I'm sorry, the only thing they should have been thinking about in that moment was Olivia's family. Cashman's still alive. He's gonna live. There might be bars that separate his freedom from his family, but they can visit him, they can connect with him, they can know he's, to all intents and purposes, being looked after, and they will always have that relationship because it's still there living. Olivia's family won't. And to act in that manner when a court of law rightly finds somebody guilty, that should give them pause for reflection regarding how they move forward in their lives. I appreciate if he was bringing in a lot of money, that's going to be something very difficult to replace. I appreciate that's going to affect the children, and it's awful. Those kids are not responsible for any of this whatsoever. But this is what happens when an individual is so reprehensible in their actions, so abhorrent in their lifestyle choices, that they end up facing the consequences of their actions. And there are consequences, because Olivia's life matters. It matters. And when you lose because somebody around you does something horrible, you should direct your anger, you should direct your frustration, your fear, all of that at the individual who's caused it, and that is Cashman per se. We get to the 3rd of April 2023, and this is a point where Cashman's actually sentenced. And I don't know, this is the bit which is going to make a lot of your blood boil, because in true style of this kind of character.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
Cashman refuses to come from his cells to be sentenced. Is it not possible at this point to add on another 15 years? Genuinely. The disrespect shown is intolerable, as far as I'm concerned, offensive beyond belief. So then we have Judge Mr. Justice Yip, and obviously his job is to look at the aggravating, mitigating factors, etc. So he says there are absolutely aggravating factors beyond belief in this case. First of all, that little girl, she was in her own home when she got shot. You don't get more aggravating than somebody literally shooting you in your own home, your sanctuary, your safe haven. It was a place where she should have been the most safe. Also, Cashman had willingly and knowingly fired multiple shots into the family home, so therefore had no consideration whatsoever for the people who might be in the crossfire. He didn't care for a second who might die in the process, as long as he got his hit. When it came down to sentencing, he got a stern sentence, and rightly so. In America, he'd probably get the death sentence, let's be honest. But he got a minimum of 42 years. So he got life, but he has to serve at least 42 years. You won't be surprised to know that Cashman's never accepted any responsibility for his crimes, nor has he shown any remorse whatsoever for causing the death of an innocent 9-year-old child. I hope she haunts him. I mean, maybe he has no conscience whatsoever. Maybe he's one of those individuals who doesn't know how to love, not truly, not honestly, not authentically. But if he has a shred of conscience, just a shred, then I hope that she infects his waking and his dreaming moments. I hope she finds a way to torment him. I hope that it's the first thing that he thinks about when he goes and wakes up in the morning, and the last thing that he thinks about when he closes his eyes at night. And if she doesn't manage to do that, it's because he is devoid of humanity. And I'm sure that when he takes his last breath, his real maker will be there to collect him. and he can suffer for eternity in that moment. At least we know he'll have until he's 76 years of age to think about his actions that night. So he's got a lot of time for reflection. And believe me, age is a big awakener. So hopefully, over time, that remorse will find its place and space. The problem is that whilst he serves that minimum life sentence in prison, Olivia's family are living their life sentence moment by moment for the rest of their days. Their sentence is far worse than his. An innocent 9-year-old girl ultimately took a bullet for the pathetic Joseph Nee. That man who spent his entire life so far causing pain, making enemies. Olivia, she paid the price for his miserable legacy. And my God, how miserable is that man's legacy? You think about meaning in this world. He's a blot on the landscape of life, per se. Olivia was adored. She was a much-loved daughter, granddaughter, sister, niece, cousin. She was beautiful, absolutely gorgeous. She was the baby of a family. She was happy. She was loved. She was full of life. She loved to sing and dance. People who knew her, they described her as a social butterfly. She was just somebody who was captivating, charismatic, beautiful. Also, apparently she had a real diva side. She was full of sass. That's according to her family members. And her mum said that she would have made a really good lawyer because she had an answer for everything. During the sentencing, when that hearing took place, her mother actually held a teddy bear that was made from Olivia's pyjamas and it had a message, "My Liv," on one foot and "Good night, I love you. See you in the morning." Mwah. Sewn in a white heart on it as well, which I think is just very demonstrative of that connection with her. Even though she isn't present in this life, in this dimension, their love is very present within the dimensions that separate them. And I always think that the thread of love is so tight that in our grief, it's an exquisite pain in the long term because it is the love in disguise. And certainly, I think we all celebrate the fact that her mother still feels that deep connection, as will all her family. Now, in the victim statement, she told the court of Olivia's loving, caring nature. And just to put this in context, I know that kids are out there living their lives, being amazing. We adore our children. But there are certain kids that just have that additional layer to the nature, right? Just something about their character that is really giving, compassionate, special. And that gorgeous little girl, she'd been due to give her hair to the Little Princess Trust. So she was going to be donating her hair 5 days after she was murdered. She'd really wanted to help the charity that provides real hair for children who are sick. And she was going to give 12 inches of her hair. And I think that for so many girls, your hair is kind of the thing that you wear because you're so proud of the way that it looks and it forms part of your personality. And to be willing to just give that amazing, I suppose, part of who you are to a child who needs it more than you, it just shows that she is the absolute antithesis of the heinous, evil characters who were involved in taking her life that night in August last year. She is the good to their bad. She is the joy to their devastation. And genuinely, the saddest thing is that those men who will rot in jail, they will never know what it is like to be fully embraced and loved as Olivia has been, because you can't love those characters in the way that you could love somebody like this gorgeous little girl. So one of the things I'm going to put up is that there is actually a GoFundMe page that's been set up for Olivia's family. And for those of you who feel that you would like to donate to Olivia's family in her memory, that would be a really cool thing to do. Like I said, for Olivia's family, full stop, they have to deal not just with the loss of this gorgeous girl, they have to deal with the legacy in their local area and the area around them of certain individuals who feel that because they stood up and did the right thing and sent a heinous human being down for a very long time, that they themselves have been in a position where they could be at threat and risk. And that just says something altogether disgraceful about a society that should care deeply for its most vulnerable, and that is children. And I know that some of those who are associated with Cashman and Nee will watch this. I usually get emails or I'll get messages off them threatening me and saying really nasty things and telling me how I'm wrong, and I'm just going to put it out there now. I don't care. I won't respond. I really couldn't care less about how it's affected you, because if you type in, you're still breathing. And when you inhale that air, every time you do that, know that Olivia's been denied that for the rest of her life. So, save your energy in typing those messages and take a moment of reflection for a little girl who deserved so much more, and for a family who now have to live ultimately with her void. I'm going to dedicate this to Olivia. The GoFundMe is beneath. I hope that you have found it emotional, and I hope that you have taken a moment to just relate to the loss and also to the acknowledgement that for every monster that exists in our society, there are people like Olivia and Olivia's family who remind us that the good very much offset the bad. Take care, guys. I know it's been an emotional one. This is dedicated to Olivia.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.